It's a blessing to be here, Pastor Tim. Thank you so much. And Pastor Teresa, for letting me share today. You know, there's a story about a dinner party where guests were expected to stand after the meal was given and recite something for the group. And a famous actor was at this dinner party. And he stood up and he recited the 23rd Psalm with a great dramatic flair and emotion. And then he sat down and everybody just clapped and clapped and clapped for this man who just recited this psalm. And then a very simple man got up and he began to recite the same Psalm 23. But he wasn't eloquent and he was very straight from his heart, very non-emotional. But his presentation was so that it touched people and left everybody sitting in silence. And then afterwards, the actor came up to the man and said, "I know the psalm, but you know the shepherd." And I pray this morning that you don't listen from me, but you listen from the Lord today. And that we don't just know the word, but we know the shepherd of the word. And we know his heart and we know his love. So I want to share with you today a message called The Lie of the Snare. And I hope that it ministers to your heart. Can we pray? Lord, I ask you today that you would just speak to your people. God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit today, God. Lord, your people are hungry today. Now, there is a hunger for you in all of our hearts, Lord. And we are living in the last days, God. Lord, we are living in a time of division in the earth, God, a time of great turmoil, Lord God. But your word, you said that, God, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And so we don't stand fearful. We don't stand, God, in our own strength. We stand in the power of the Holy Spirit, full of God today. And I pray for your people that you would strengthen their hands to fight today, the good fight of faith. I pray, God, you would strengthen their feet to run to yours, O God. And I pray that you would give us eyes to see the harvest, God, that we would never retreat back in defeat, but God, that we would move forward, not in our own self or strength, but in the power of you, Jesus. And so, God, I ask that you would open our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I hope this message encourages you. I know yesterday was a great victory in this house. There was a shout in this house. There was joy on the faces of all the graduates. There was a sense of victory. We saw a video about the pursuit of victory, and there was a shout and praise in the victory. And those of us who are Christians, our lives are committed and given for the kingdom of God. I was talking with someone yesterday, and they were sharing about how their life had been completely just committed. Their whole lives have been committed to the kingdom. And our lives as Christians are committed to the kingdom of God. Now, I know that this school year has come to an end. And I know that there's been a fruitful year. It's been a mighty victory. And many lives and many students' lives have been changed for the glory of God and for the better. Hearts were transformed this past year. Hearts were set free. Freedom came to many people in this campus this past year. But we as soldiers of the cross, we as soldiers in the kingdom of God must always be on alert. Our enemy is always roaming about to trip, to discourage, to trap the people of God. He is a fowler, and he comes and he lays snares around constantly, desiring to hinder the people of God. So I want to just talk to you about the lie of the snare, because there's a story. If you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, there's a story about the prophet Elijah. And the prophet Elijah had just come through a powerful victory. It had been a season of drought, and there had been God was doing a deep work, and it had culminated to this event that had happened where the Lord mightily poured out his spirit and called down fire. Elijah called down fire. God sent fire to consume a sacrifice where the prophets of Baal could do nothing. God showed himself miraculous and proved himself to his people. The prophets of Baal were executed that day, and a great victory was wrought in Israel that day. But immediately after that great victory, immediately after there was an awesome presence of God, an awesome display of the glory of God and of the might of God, immediately a snare was laid for Elijah. And he stepped in the snare, the trap. Now, all of us probably know, but just for the sake of those who may not know, a snare is a trap that a hunter uses to catch his prey. And the enemy desires to lay snares in our pathway. I've been reading the book again, The Pilgrim's Progress. And that's a very good book to see the snares that you know, John Bunyan clearly lays out just the path of a Christian and how the enemy is so quick to lay snares out for us as believers. But Elijah was a man of God. I mean, if anybody was used by God, it seemed like in the Old Testament, Elijah was one of those men that God used mightily and powerful miracles and signs and wonders and leading his people and speaking a word to their generation. In fact, he never even died. He was taken up to heaven by a chariot. So if we look at the life of a successful believer, Elijah's right up there. He is a man that was committed to the things of God. But the snare was laid for him. And in a moment, we see just his whole perspective just shift. And he goes running away from Jezebel, Ahab's wife, into the wilderness. 1 Kings chapter 19, let's begin to read. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Talking about the prophets of Baal. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Amazing to me how such a shift and such a powerful mountaintop victory. And then all of a sudden, one of the great men of God is running for his life from a woman that is terrorizing him, from a spirit that had laid a snare for him. And Elijah stepped into the snare, and we find him running all alone into the wilderness, sitting down under a tree and hoping that he would die. Now we look at this, and it is extreme. But how many of you can relate to this today? How many of you have ever felt like God had done something awesome in your life, powerful through your life, and then the next moment you find yourself, you feel like there's no victory. You feel like you don't even know who God is anymore. You begin to throw a party, a pity party for yourself. And you find yourself alone and scared and hurt and offended, or whatever the snare that the enemy lays out there for you, you find yourself stuck in that snare. He was caught in a snare of depression, discouragement, self-pity. But snares can take on different shapes and sizes, different appearances. In fact, let's go to Psalm 124. Psalm chapter 124. And we're going to read a psalm by David that talks about snares. Talks about a season in the life of David where they were almost completely destroyed. We're going to go back to Elijah in a moment, but I just want to read this psalm in verse 1. It says, If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. David is talking about a time where the Lord miraculously performed a victory for them. He had wrought the victory for the people of Israel. Apparently, I don't know what season this was, but apparently they were almost completely destroyed. And David speaks to the people in a psalm and he says, if the Lord wouldn't have been there for us, then we would have been completely destroyed. How many have ever felt that way before? You look at a situation you just came through and you go, God, if you would not have been there for me, I would have been destroyed. He talks about floods. He talks about torrents and raging waters of life. And all of these things are just threats and lies of the enemy that rush in and come against us as the people of God. These floods, these torrents, these raging waters, they take on different appearances. Some of them could be the way that people treat you, hurtful attacks, malicious demonic attacks of the enemy. Some of these things are battles in the physical, and they're also battles in the spiritual that we cannot see. So as David begins to proclaim this, he says, if God wouldn't have been with us, then we would have been destroyed. Let's go back to 1 Kings 19. And I'm jumping around today, but I want to bring us to a place to see something powerful today. 1 Kings chapter 19. Going back to the story of Elijah. Because you see, Elijah was not at that point yet. You see, David writes this psalm and he's already come out through it on the other side. Elijah is in the middle of this as we're reading. So he doesn't see any victory. He doesn't see how God is moving in this. He doesn't understand what's going on in his mind. He stepped in this snare and he is stuck by the power of this snare. It says, and as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him. This is verse 5. And the angel said to him, arise and eat. And then he looked and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And so he ate it and drank it and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and he touched him and he said, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and he went in that strength 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? How would you like to be that the question that God asked you if you've been running for 40 days? What are you doing here? Why are you here? And obviously there's a purpose. God is going in his heart. He's dealing with him. What's going on, Elijah? What are you going through? What's happened? God is beginning that intimate dialogue with Elijah. He took him away by himself. No one else was around. Took him away, brought him into a cave, provided for him to get there. Nothing's changed. The circumstances haven't changed with Elijah. He's still feeling the same way he's feeling. And God had brought him away. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? So Elijah said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life too. It's ironic, there was a big boxing match on last night, but when I was preparing this message, you know, the Lord was speaking to my heart as a man, you know, that loves God and wants to follow God. And I've been personally going through a season in my own life where of feeling like this. One of the things that when I share, I always try to share after what God's doing in my heart and what he's doing through my life and in my life. And so this past season of my life has been a season of maybe going through a difficult time or feeling a time of being wore out, a time of being completely feeling as if I've done everything I can, as Pastor Tim was talking this morning about that word he was giving. And I begin to think of a boxer that goes 12 rounds. And as they go 12 rounds, and if they make it to 12 rounds, chances are they are completely whipped. They're a lot of times they can't even lift up their hands anymore to swing. It takes everything they got just to block the punches. Their eyes are swollen. Their lips are busted. They're completely depleted all the energy sources, and they are just at the mercy of the moment. And, you know, sometimes we can feel like that as Christians. Sometimes we can be in the midst of the fight, in the midst of the battle, and we have given everything that we could in our own self. And even spiritually, we feel depleted. And it takes everything we got to even raise our hands. And in many moments, our hands begin to drop and we're just at the mercy of the moment. But let me tell you today, if you feel that way, you're not dead yet. You're not knocked out. You may be beaten. You may be swollen. You may be worn out. Your eyes may be swollen shut. Your lip may be busted. You may not be able to even lift your hands to fight anymore. But you're not down. And the reason why you're not down is because it is God who fights for you. It is God who fights for you. God has not given us over to be destroyed. Whatever you're going through today, it is meant to refine you. It is meant to bring you to a place of victory and glory, that no one receives the glory, but that God receives the glory. Our suffering and the tribulations that we go through are never meant to destroy the believer, but always to refine the believer. Let's jump back to Psalm 124. We're going to be in these two passages, so you may want to keep your finger there. Verse 6, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth." Praise God, He has not given you to be destroyed. "Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." We as believers must always remember, and it's very easy to forget this. And I've been serving the Lord for 18 years and I still have to remind myself, and I still forget this many times. We do not fight against flesh and blood. You don't fight against people. Your fight is not with your circumstances. Your fight is not with a person or a relationship or a past issue. That's not your fight. You battle against principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual things. And the great thing is, thank God it's not a practical thing that we fight. Thank God it's a spiritual thing that we fight, because Jesus has already won the victory in the spiritual realm. So as believers, you are in a battle for your soul. And the reason why I felt really led to share this today is because there has been a great victory that has happened this year in this school, in the lives of people. And many of the staff and faculty, or even the students that are going home and their families are receiving home the students for this summer, there's a great victory. You're coming off a plane of what God has done. And all I'm trying to do this morning is make you aware that as you come down off of that plane, as Elijah came down off of that mountain, be careful. Because the enemy wants to lay a snare for you. And he wants to discourage you. And he wants to bring you into a place that you feel defeated. I want to encourage you today that the snare that the enemy lays for you, it may feel real. It may look real. And you may even stumble into that snare. But as Psalm 124 says, the snare has been broken. We have to be alert and dependent on God to avoid these snares. But when we find ourselves in one of those snares, I didn't say if you find yourself in one of those snares, but when you find yourself in one of those snares, because all of us are not perfect and we will fail and trip and fall in our lives. So when you find yourself in one of those snares, it is the Lord who delivers you. Every temptation you have, every struggle you have, every attack that comes against you, every trap that comes that is set for you is a snare of the enemy. And at one point or another in our lives, all of us will find ourselves in one of those snares. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, let me preface this, because I don't want to read the whole passage. So as Elijah went into the cave, the Lord says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And his response to God was, "I have served you. I have followed you. I'm the only one that's serving you on this earth. And I am about to lose my life. And the word of God says that the Lord moved in an earthquake. And then he moved in a fire. He moved in a wind. But the Lord wasn't in any of those things. And something that was interesting to me is that in the scriptures, there's biblical support of God moving through a fire. There's biblical, in fact, he just did it, 40 days before that for Elijah, through Elijah. And there's biblical support of him using the wind. He uses a wind like the sound of a mighty rushing wind when the Holy Spirit was sent. And there's also biblical support of him using an earthquake because he swallowed the sons of Korah up through an earthquake. But God wasn't in any of those moments. He was in a still small voice. And I really believe that that's what Elijah needed at that moment. He didn't need all the pomp and circumstance. He didn't need all the fires and the winds. He needed the voice of a father saying, look, even though your circumstances aren't changing, even though you're going right back into the same fire that you just left, Jezebel's still there waiting on you. Ahab's still king, but I'm still God. And so he sent him, and this is what happens. It said, the Lord said to him, I want you to go on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, I want you to anoint Hazael, the king of Syria. You shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king of Israel. Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah. You shall anoint a prophet in his place, in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So the Lord encourages him, but notice, nothing changed. Nothing changed. His circumstance didn't change. The trial you're facing may not change right away. The battle you're going through may not change right away. Like Pastor Tim said this morning, you fought it. You've done everything you can. You feel like, what else am I supposed to do? Am I ever going to have the victory of this? You can't do anything more. The circumstances may not change. But a word from God will get you through whatever you have to go through. So when Elijah comes to the end of his trial, circumstantially nothing had changed. Jezebel still wanted to kill him. He was tired of fighting and there was no mighty outward victory. But what I believe this is a bigger picture of is that this was a lie of a snare. The only power that Satan has over the believer is what lie you choose to believe. Nothing had changed circumstantially because this attack was a lie and a facade of the enemy. Elijah had already the victory. He was already given to the Lord, and the Lord was the one who was sovereignly ordering Elijah's steps. The powerful thing about the finished work of Jesus is that the snare has been broken. Going back to verse 7 of chapter 124 Psalms, it says, David says, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. You may fall into a trap, but you can get up. You may trip in a snare, but the snare has been broken and it has no more power over you. You may be beaten, you may be bloodied, your eyes may be swollen shut, your arms may be too tired to fight, but you are still standing and you will not be defeated because the snare has been broken. And what is meant to hurt you by the grace and strength of God will only make you stronger. Let's turn to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. Doesn't it sound silly to be laying in a snare? I see these, just in my head, I'm seeing this like old school wilderness days snare that they used to lay for bear trap. And doesn't it sound silly to be laying in a snare that's broken? But it's the only reason you're laying in the snare that's broken is because you don't believe that Jesus has broken the snare. Because when Jesus defeated the power of sin, death, and hell, when he died and rose from the dead, he defeated sin, not that you would never sin again, but he defeated the power of sin in your life. That sin no longer has power over you as a believer. That if you believe what Christ has done, you can stand in the victory and shake off that snare, because the snare has been broken. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." This hostility that he killed is the snare. It's the strength of the law. It's the power of sin. It's the lie of the enemy. It's the bondage of the flesh. Whatever you want to call it, this hostility was nailed to the cross and defeated when Jesus died and rose from the dead. It represents temptation. It represents sin. It represents addiction. It represents bitterness. It represents regret. It represents shame and guilt. And when Jesus died, he killed the hostility. He killed the power of those things. So your failures, your struggles, fightings within, fightings without, are not meant for your destruction, but meant for your sanctification. And you are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. If you can appreciate the trial, if you can appreciate the work that God is doing you, if you can look past your situation and know that Jesus has won the victory, and you can receive everything that comes in and out of your life as from the hand of God, meant to make you stronger, then there isn't anything you can't go through in this life. There isn't any battle that you can't fight through. There isn't any temptation that you can't overcome by the power of Jesus Christ. There isn't any sin that will hold you bound for eternity. Jesus has broken the snare. The lie, the only power the snare has is the lie. Hallelujah, Jesus. One of the things that has helped me in my walk with God is to look at my walk with God as a journey. And those of you who've read Pilgrim's Progress, it's easy to do when you read that book, right? You're on a journey. You're going to a place one day. You're walking with God. And look, there are going to be seasons on this journey where you don't feel very spiritual. There's going to be seasons on this journey when you fall and you fail God. And one of the most beautiful pictures of redemption is the story of Peter. And you have Peter, who's so strong in himself. He's so strong that the same day that he's looking at Jesus and he's saying, "I'm never going to deny you. I'm never going to turn my back on you." And that very evening, we find him denying Christ. Not only denying Christ, cursing his name. And as he left and he wept, and as he went back to doing what he knew to do, he went back to his old life fishing. Jesus came to him. Imagine being on that boat with those guys. I mean, I just, my imagination is big. And I just see Peter, after it's all over, he goes, "All right, you guys want to go fishing?" And they're like, "Sure." So they're out fishing. And as they're fishing, you imagine, you know, when you're fishing, how many like fishing? I love to fish. I guess being from the South, I just love to fish. But my daddy was a fisherman. My daddy's daddy was a fisherman. All my dad's side of the family were shrimpers from Southern Alabama. So fishing runs in our blood. So, but you do a lot of thinking when you're fishing. You just do a lot of thinking. And I can imagine, I know that Peter was in this place of, you know, Jesus had already appeared to them. And Jesus had already spoke to Peter, and Peter knew that Jesus loved him still. And there was a sense of, God forgave him. But you know how condemnation works. And so as he's sitting on this boat, and I'm sure he's fishing, he's thinking, "Man, was this last 3 years for nothing? was these last 3 years of all that we saw and all that we've done for nothing, I'm back fishing. I'm at the same spot I was before Jesus came to me. What's going on? And I can see Peter just, and then to top it all off, they're not catching anything. And I can just see them look up at the shore and Jesus just waving on the shore. And then they're like, I think that's the Lord. He says, have you caught anything? Throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And you know, immediately it clicked back 3 years before. I remember this story. So they flipped it on the other side, pulled in the fish. And Peter didn't waste any time. He dove in the water, swam back to shore. Jesus was there. You know, there's a lot of men's breakfasts in churches, right? And that was the first one, first men's breakfast right there. We're all sitting on the shore. Jesus has some fish grilling. And this dialogue begins to happen. Peter, you love me. Do you love me, Peter? And Jesus is saying, Peter, are you sold out to me, Peter? Do I have all your heart? Do I have this love that's going to lead the church, Peter? And Peter, who was so full of himself and so full of ambition and zeal before, had been humbled. And he responds to Jesus and he says, Lord, you know I love you, but I don't love you like you had. He says, feed my sheep. And then he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Are you sold out for me? Are you going to give everything to me? And Peter says, Jesus, you know me now. I've failed. I can't love you like that. And then he said again, tend my sheep. And then the third time, which had to be bittersweet, I would say, because he denied Jesus three times. Third time Jesus asked him, do you love me? But the way Jesus asked him this time, and you can study the Greek on it, that the word for love is different the third time Jesus asked. It's the same word that Peter was using back to Jesus. Peter, do you like me? Basically, brotherly love. And he says, Lord, you know all things. And I just see a beautiful picture of redemption there. Because Jesus met Peter where he was. And Jesus is going to meet you where you are. So whatever battle, excuse me, whatever battle you're going through, whatever snare you find yourself tripped in, God will meet you there. Just like he met Elijah in the cave. Just like he met Peter on the shore. But you have to believe. As I look at the scripture, the only sin really that hinders someone from fully walking in the victory that Christ has paid for us is the sin of unbelief. Is that you simply just don't believe the victory he's wrought for you. So I'm here to tell you today, whatever snare you're in, it's a lie. Because the snare has been broken. And Jesus has wrought the victory. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together. I love this scripture in Micah. Rejoice not over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I know that many here today are going to be leaving this campus and going home. And those of the staff and leadership and faculty here at Summit are going to be staying in for the summer. And I know they have just experienced a fabulous victory, oh God, in the lives of the students. And you've brought them through so much this year. But I pray as good soldiers, they would be on alert as they enter into this time of rest. As they enter into a time of just reprieve for a moment, as they begin to plan for the things this summer. I pray, oh God, that as good soldiers, they would pull back to recoup, but God, they would always be on alert. Because their adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And the snares will be laid, the snares will be put out. But God, I pray that as they live and as they move, that everybody in this room, God, as they live this summer, where they go, wherever they're going to go, those here at the campus, I pray that they would know and they would live in a victory to know that Jesus, you have broken the power of the snare. And that no matter what is laid for us, no matter if we even trip in the snare or fall, we can get up. We can rise, because that is the power that you have given us when you defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to open, Pastor Tim, if it's okay, can I? If you want to come and just spend some time down here at the altar today, the Lord may have you in a wilderness experience right now, or in a cave like Elijah, or maybe you're recovering from a failure like Peter. Whatever it may be, the Lord is the healer. So if you want to respond to the altar today, to just have a special moment with God, I just want to open up the altars for you to come.